Portland, Oregon. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Cool. Listen, welcome to the Rick Emerson Show from the Oregonian, author of Catch a Wave, The Rise, Fall, and Redemption of the Beach Boys, Brian Wilson. Currently numbered on the New York Times bestseller list. Peter Carlin, how are you, sir?
I'm okay.
Is the book doing well? It seems to be doing very well. There's a lot of buzz about it. I got that Rolling Stone, and there was a big thing about it in Rolling Stone, which is cool.
There's some nice buzz.
And so the question is, has Brian Wilson himself read it?
Geez, man, I don't know. You know, I doubt it. I don't think so. First of all, I don't think he reads that much, you know, at all. Once I asked him what he was reading, and he sort of looked at me blankly and said, I just read contracts.
Do you have Brian?
I don't even believe that.
Do you have Brian Wilson's cell phone number?
No.
Really?
Yeah, why? I don't think he does have a cell. I don't have the number.
Do you have his home phone number?
No.
Really?
I'm
just being depressed at every disappointed at every turn here.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. That's,
ultimately, I have his email address. How's that?
Let me ask you, who's the most famous person whose phone number you have, like a direct dial number?
Yo, geez, I got to look through my Rolodex.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let's pick one out of the many thousands.
Well, I have I don't know. I'm trying to think. I mean, which... I have other Beach Boys phone numbers at home. I have
you got Terry Melcher's phone number.
He did.
No, maybe not then. So you could get like one of Al Jardine's third cousin or whoever it is.
No, I got Al Jardine's phone number.
Yeah, that's
how's that?
So valuable. We're just getting off into a whole Beach Boys thing here, but I guess that's the point because you are speaking. Let me just talk about this right now. You are speaking at Borders Books on 3rd tonight, right?
Yeah, 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock. And so we touched on this real briefly last week, but you're speaking, but it's not about the book as such. It's about a couple specific songs, right?
Well, it's about Pet Sounds, the album, and and Good Vibrations. So, and since both of those have their 40th anniversary kind of like special re-releases this fall, the idea was to kind of focus on those and get into why they're so important.
And a lot of people don't. I mean, I am a big Beach Boys fan. I'm not as big a fan of Pet Sounds as a lot of people, especially in the sort of last 10 years, are. I mean, I tend to latch onto the things that are sort of more poppy. And there's certainly elements of that on Pet Sounds. It's got the, Wouldn't It Be Nice, and like the reworking of Sloop Jumpy and all that stuff. But it's one of those records that is so hard, I think, for people now to hear without... It's like I said, I wish I could have grown up in an era where I didn't always have Jimi Hendrix and an era where I hadn't. Like, I've never heard A Day in the Life without already knowing that it was an established rock and roll classic. And all of the things that the Brian Wilson and the Beatles and all those guys created, I've always known.
Yeah.
And so it's sometimes difficult to imagine or to explain. I remember having a long discussion with somebody trying to explain to them why Good Vibrations was such a mind-blowing song. And it's such a cliche to say, well, if you would just get stoned and listen to it, you'd probably understand. But, I mean, it's not about that so much as it's like being able to step back from all of those songs. And, like, even I was driving along the other day, and it was perfect little Beach Boys moment. Driving along in my car, windows down, and I had, like, a mix CD in, and California Girls came on.
Mm-hmm.
And California Girls is probably the best example for people of my generation because they, A, always knew it as a classic song. B, they got, we got that David Lee Roth version that got played real heavily for, like, 3, 4, 5 years.
Yeah.
And so... the song has worn such a groove in everybody's collective brain that it's hard to hear it for just the genius masterwork that it really is.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you catch it the right mood, right moment, right time, right instant, and you hear just the harmonies and just that orchestral beginning and just the whole thing, and I sound like a stoned out college sophomore, but it blows your mind. It is unreal how good those songs still are. So, now that I've given my big rambling thing, get a little preview. Why? I mean, if somebody doesn't know, they don't understand, they don't get it, why should they care?
Well, just rules, that's all. No,
kicks ass.
Yeah, questions? Any questions? Okay, the thing that I'm going to try to do tonight, which you'll see, you'll be there, from what I understand.
Absolutely.
Yeah. is not get into the whole techno geeky stuff about layering, you know, like, well, texture, you know, musical textures and why this is innovative and why isn't that. I mean, to some extent, that matters, and you need to kind of scrape that surface or at least uncover it to some degree. But to me, what's really interesting is where stuff fits in culturally and why it made an impact culturally and why it continues to make an impact. Like, what's the real tension here? What's the real, you know, what are the real stakes? And so for me, it's all about kind of the emotional background and the whole, like, where this came out of. Like, how did this guy's imagination, you know, what is it about him that needed to spit this out in precisely the way he did? Like, why does this sound so strikingly different from other stuff? What inspired him both artistically and emotionally to make this? And then once he did it and it came out, like, why did people respond the way that they did? To me, that's the real story. And, you know, I mean, one of the things that I think is interesting, for instance, I'll just get into an example here, is like when you think about Good Vibrations and you ask yourself, you know, what about Good Vibrations made it so important? It comes down to the sound. It comes down to the music itself and exactly how innovative and revolutionary the structure of the song is and the way the sounds are on the song. And then when I was listening to it and re-listening to it when I was working on the book, it occurred to me, you know, this is kind of like the mirror image to Like a Rolling Stone, the Dylan song, which had been a number one hit like almost exactly a year earlier. Also revolutionary in the sense that, you know, first of all for its length, but mostly just for its lyrics and how, you know, abstract and psychedelic they were, and how angry of a song it was, and how it seemed to just thrash away and destroy. It almost seemed to detonate, you know, all of, you know, your sort of cultural expectations and deliberately destroy them, rip them to shreds. You know, how does, you know, and so to me, Good Vibrations is sort of the same impulse, only going off in a totally different direction. Instead of destroying what exists, it points to a whole new kind of sparkling universe that in your imagination that you might build to replace. It's the utopian vision. His is like the dystopian, you know, cry of rage and or outrage, and Brian's is more kind of the dreamy, wouldn't it be nice, you know, we could have a whole other world type of thing.
It's also sort of, Phil Spector, I think it was Phil Spector that I was here attributed to, Phil Spector, that phrase, teenage symphonies to God or whatever.
That's Brian's phrase.
Is it Brian?
Yeah.
Now, was he talking about his own, was he talking about Spector, or was he talking about his own, about the Beach Boys songs?
He was talking about Smile, the album, that when he was making it, or beginning to make it, and trying to tell people what it was going to be, one of the ways he described it was a teenage symphony to God.
The great thing about Brian Wilson and the Beach Boys, and the thing that I think led to his undoing, probably mentally or emotionally or whatever, is it was the same thing that made him so great, is that he's just such a true believer. There's just no, at least in the songs themselves, there's no guile. There's no, I mean, he is a wide-eyed, you know, optimist about all. And you listen to those songs, and even if you don't even listen to the lyrics, just the feel, the sense of them.
Yeah.
He's just of this guy who has this big, grand, beautiful, idealistic, dreamy hope of the world and the future and a better place and tomorrow. But, of course, that just leaves you so open to just being devastated as soon as it doesn't happen.
Well, yeah. You know, and that's the whole thing. I mean, there's no artifice in his tunes, not in the emotional part of it. And that's why I think people, you know, and one of the main thrusts in the whole book is the argument that, look, people listen to this music and people, you know, it's like nobody really literally cares about surfing or cars and you know, people who weren't born in the early 60s have no nostalgic connection to that era. They could care less. What connects them to the music is the emotion in it and this kind of subtext of, you know, what they're really singing about is wishing that you could live, you know, that there could be an endless summer, or wishing that, you know, you could, that the girls on the beach were all within reach. You know, this whole, you know, you want to live in a society where that's possible. You want to live somewhere, you know, where the you know, driving down the strip where all the kids are hip, even though there is no such place and you know it, but you can dream about it.
Well, and the thing about Brian, I've said, you know, the mark to me in many ways, not the only mark, but a mark of a great novel. There's an author, Douglas Copeland, that I'm a big fan of.
Yeah.
And my friend Todd and I used to talk about Douglas Copeland a lot, and we said that the great thing about Copeland was every time you read a Copeland book, Sarah's actually got one in her hand right now. Sarah, I didn't even know that. Sarah is reading Girlfriend in a Coma right now. And what was so great about a Copeland book is that you wanted to live in it. You wanted to live in it, and you wanted to be with those people, and you wanted to know, even if what was going on in the book to them was bad, or they were going through a rough patch, you wanted to be part of that group of people in that world. Same thing with the television show. I always point, the Gilmore Girls is a great example of this to me, and people smirk at me for liking the Gilmore Girls, but they create a town, sort of a modern-day Mayberry, that you would give anything to spend, you know, it's like that weird, it's like that Johnny Cakes town that, that Vito Spadafore went to.
Where it's
like,
right?
Yeah, it's like you want to live there, man. It was such a great, cool place that, man, that's where, if you could pick a place to go on vacation, you'd go to wherever that town, that Vito was in.
Right.
The same thing with Brian Wilson, and this is a common thing with me. People who know me, they hear me talk about this all the time, that Brian Wilson, out of just whole cloth, out of thin freaking air, created this entire floating, weird version of the world that just, this city in the sky that, as you said, didn't really exist, but that you could clearly identify, and people as disparate as, you know, the Beatles and Elvis Costello, and I'm latched onto this group, this Norwegian group called the Travoltos. They never set foot in California in their life. I mean, they're in goddamn Norway. But, you know, they sing these, they put out an album actually called Endless Summer. And they're all originals, but the songs are very clearly inspired by Brian Wilson's vision and version of America, musically as well as attitudinally. And I mean, and let me ask you this. And I know we're sitting and we're having a high fidelity wank session about the Beach Boys here. But what was more damaging to Brian Wilson, the fact that the public didn't latch on to Pet Sounds, or the fact that the guys in the band hated it?
Oh, you know, all of the above. But really, that is. But the amazing thing is that even in the right at the moment when that stuff was happening, when I think he began to realize that people were not down with Pet Sounds in the way that he had hoped they would be, that was when he was making Good Vibrations. So one of the paradoxical things, and the Beach Boys and Brian are all about the paradoxes. I mean, it's all about, you know, I mean, this is a guy who used, just because as a result of his own screwed up background and his own screwed up life, I mean, if you talk to him now, he uses the words love and fear interchangeably. You know, I mean, which is sort of a scary thing, but it's like he loves things that frighten him, and he's frightened by things that he loves. I mean, so wrap your mind around that. And I mean, and that comes out in every note that the guy ever wrote. And so music to him, I mean, the reason why his music got so complicated and so beautiful was that it was the only place he could go. It was the only, it was like the safe place, the haven in his life where no one else could touch him. He would descend into his music. But the problem, kind of the breaking point, came right around the same time that, you know, once he was done with Good Vibrations and trying to work on the Smile album, and it had the kind of the weight of the Pet Sounds expect, you know, or a failure, or you know, relative failure on his shoulders, was people, you know, the hordes kind of invaded that space. They kicked down the door and they said, look, you know, you're not going to be as, you can't have as much control over your music as you have had previously. We're going to, you know, you got to kind of adhere to what we want you to do, and the fact that, you know, or else there's not going to be any game for you to play.
Well, he was successful enough that they no longer trusted him to run it.
Exactly.
That's the irony of it, right?
His genius built this machine, and then the machine took over. At which point, he threw his hands up and said, that's it, I'm out of here. And that's why there's never really been, I mean, he sort of nibbled around the edges of it, and he's created some wonderful, wonderful stuff since then. But in terms of the absolute just jaw-dropping, out-of-the-box brilliance that you heard in, you know, in that era that, you know, I'll be talking about tonight, you're probably not going to get that again coming, because he just doesn't, I mean, I think it was a self-preservation decision on his part.
Does he know in any, and I talk about him as though he's just like mentally enfeebled, which obviously isn't the case, but he does have a, you know, a pretty, maybe burned out in some ways view of reality, Brian Wilson. Does he know how great, does he know how, what he did? Is he aware of the depth and breadth and influence of all the stuff he did?
Well, you know, I think that the reason why he's been touring so much in the last 8 or 9 years is because being on stage and seeing people respond to the music, it was really the first time in his career that he really felt how his music made people feel. And I think that, you know, part of the problem was, I think he spent most of his time with the other Beach Boys. And they're like, you know, they're just kind of jerky guys.
Right.
I mean, you know, and just how dysfunctional their whole scene was. I mean, I think that they went out of their way to wound the guy. I mean, they certainly went out of their way to sue him repeatedly, which is bizarre to me. I mean, to the point in the early 90s with suing him for saying mean things about them in this, you know, supposed autobiography, which is like, you know, because they said that he was somehow compromising their career, but the irony being that they would have no career if it weren't for him. So it seems like, you know.
Well, it seems like a lot of it is, I'm an armchair psychiatrist, but the Beach Boys dynamic has always seemed that the thing that made Mike Love especially is always, man, when I saw Brian at the Aladdin a couple years ago, they played like a little 20-minute documentary beforehand.
Yeah.
And there was this segment where Mike Love comes on screen to talk about something, and man, it's like his face wasn't on the screen for like a tenth of a second, and the audience just began just hissing and booing, and because it's just so,
yeah.
That whole brutal dynamic between him and Brian is just so well known, even when they tried to play it off as a joke on some of those records, and it's obviously just because it seems to me like the Mike Love Brian Wilson dynamic is very much like the Murray Wilson Brian Wilson dynamic.
Well, yeah.
In awe of and yet embittered by the, you know, jealous of the talent of.
Yeah. Well, getting back to the old paradoxes, I mean, I think he's constructed his life ever since then to make sure that there always is that kind of figure in his life,
right.
You know, which accounts for, you know, the many years spent with that
Eugene Landy.
With that Gene Landy guy, and, you know, you could argue a lot of other relationships in his life, you know, because I've been following this guy's career for like, 30 plus years, and there was always, especially in the early days, or like from the mid-70s, when people talked about, oh, Brian could come back, you know, he's just these people are holding him back, you know, the other Beach Boys or Landy or whoever. If he really had his druthers, you know, he'd be back making another Pet Sounds. But the fact is, you know, he was actually ushering these people into his life, and he's way more comfortable having this kind of super authoritarian exoskeleton, you know. So,
right.
You know.
Beach Boys, America's definitive rock band or not?
Oh, yeah. I mean, and not just because, absolutely, and not always in a good way. I mean, they define both the dreamy, wonderful part of America and the hell, you know, the hellish part. The terrible, sort of abusive, commodified, you know, cynical part, too. I mean, look at those clowns, Mike Love and those dudes who've been, like...
Milking it, yeah.
Parading from county fair to county fair for the last 25 years.
With the same 48 minutes worth of songs, you know, year after year after year. God, I saw those guys like 15 years ago, and I thought they were broken down then. You know,
yeah.
I can't even imagine, so...
Well, yeah.
All right, so you're talking tonight, Borders Books, 7 o'clock, talking about Pet Sounds and God Only Knows, and, of course, the book's on sale there, too, Catch a Wave, The Rise, Fall, and Redemption of the Beach Boys, Brian Wilson.
Yo.
All right, man. Well, I'll see you tonight, and then we'll talk to you again on Monday, talk about all things television. So have a good reading tonight. Peter Carlin going to be at Borders Books tonight at 7 p.m. All right, thank you, man.
Hey, thank you, man.
All right, there you go.
Bye.
It's the Rick Emerson Show. Be back after this. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth just around the corner. Later on, round two of Pop Culture Face-Off for Al Gore tickets. And we have more at the show on Pulse. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970 Solid State Radio.
All right.
Jenny Lane on.
I don't know who that is.
Oh, baby. Why do you gotta break my heart sometimes?
Who's Janie Lane?
Oh, never mind.
No, it's that horrible show where they put the all the obese celebrities on a scale and make them weigh. It's awful.
That really is like your ultimate fantasy right there. That's just your wet dream, right? Just celebrities having to stand on a scale.
It's true.
How fat are you, celebrity?
They have to weigh. Oh God! And seeing them grip onto each other as they're on that huge scale. It's humorous.
Do they ever do like the scales of justice where they put like?
I want to. If we do have Ron, I want to ask her about the scale.
where they put like Justine Bateman on one side and like Daniel Baldwin on the other.
Well, now 300 million people are obese, not just living in the United States.
I was just going to say, coincidentally, the population of our fine nation. Mm-hmm. All right.
So that's
that. Oh, well, it's another
use for 300 million.
All right.
What is that?
That's just the population of St. John's.
It looks like she's wearing a grass skirt.
I don't think that's grass.
That is an enormous ass.
That's no moon. Mm-hmm. Hello, it's the Rick Emerson radio program. People have been asking which Borders. It's the Borders downtown. Peter Carlin will be at the Borders downtown on 3rd tonight at 7 o'clock. And then that's the last time y'all have be subjected to Beach Boys talk. There you go.
Then coming soon.
The apotheosis today. Johnny Mathis. Okay, I swear to God. That he was, we have that whole unpleasantness about whether Johnny Mathis is white or black.
That's true.
But then I thought he was dead.
No,
well, I suppose he would still remain the same race, regardless of whether he was alive or dead.
Right.
All right, so Johnny Mathis is still black, right?
Yes.
Black, yes. And he'll be here. And he's alive. There you go. Those are the three facts you need to know. It's like that thing they do in Couple, the five things you need to know with Alana or whatever. Those are the three things you know about Johnny Mathis. Black, alive, going to be here. Arlene Schnitzer Concert Hall, Friday, February 9th, 2007. Oh, I'm going to be gone. Well, more's the pity.
All right.
503-733-2970. All right. Should we share the exciting news or should we go to the Ministry of Truth first? Sarah Dillon?
Let's go to the Ministry of Truth and then share the exciting news.
Bam! And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
And now it's time for some very exciting news.
Thank you. That was subtle. Do we have the theme song? Wait, hold on. Let me... Oh, okay.
I don't know. That kind of sounded like...
I was doing the Family Ties theme. What? Okay. We're all looking at each other uncomfortably.
Why don't you make the big announcement?
I don't have the news. I don't... Look, all I know...
I thought we were making an announcement.
Oh, for the love of... All right, well, that was... There you go. That was momentum well spent. And we're done. all I know... Here's what happened to me this morning. I'm sitting in my office this morning. Ryan's just over there flexing, just waiting for the trivia contest. He just wants this to be done. I'm sitting in my office this morning, and Sarah Duncan, who is one of the AEs, your salesperson, comes in. And she comes in and she says, do you know anything about Tina Yothers? And I said, yeah.
Why, yes, Sarah Duncan.
Jennifer Keaton, Family Ties, Fatty, blah, 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 you know, so forth, whatever. Sings.
Fatty.
Which I think we'll find out is empirically true. Wait, hold on.
It's the Tina Yothers guy.
Okay, wait, hold on.
Okay.
Okay, we're just going to listen in.
Okay.
Best ringtone ever. All right, so the deal is that...
Oh, doing well, Rob. How are you?
So this is Rob. And we got a call this morning because they want to...
We were actually just talking about Tina Yothers as...
Is he one of her people?
It's one of her people. One of her men, her legion, her posse.
I know, exactly.
Part of her entourage. So they're trying to get Tina Yothers on the show tomorrow. In studio, baby. Just mere inches away from me. Where she could feel my sweet, tender embrace. Where I could hold her lovingly and whisper sweet nothings. And Sarah's got a concerned look on her face.
Oh.
She's stepping up, pulling out the nine iron.
Hasn't she had problems since the end of that program?
Sarah? Yes, no. Many. Oh, Tina Yothers? Since the end of what, Pro Family Ties?
Yeah, we are right downtown in the Coin Tower, which is just...
We're in the heart of the bustling Coin District.
We start at 11 a.m. Would that time work better for you, or do you have to be at the convention pretty early?
The convention? What?
Is there a Tina Yothers convention going on?
Okay.
Yeah. People are coming from all over the country.
They're going to trade Tina Yothers pogs.
A bobblehead doll.
We're kind of
freeforming. Ooh, you have to do throw pillows in.
So anytime you can come would be great. Yeah. I would say, how about 11:30? Would that work for you?
That works perfectly.
Okay, great.
Maybe others can bet YotherCon.
I hope we get some Tinder Yothers hats.
Yotherpalooza.
I sure could. What is our, what's the, I know that it's 222.
222 Southwest Columbia, Suite 350.
Okay, 222.
Attention, stalkers. Attention, Tinder Yother stalkers.
It's the big tall tower.
Yeah, there's doctors. It's a funny word.
Yeah, we're the big tall orange building.
31 stories.
We should come up with a catchy nickname like 30 Rock for this.
31 Rock.
This is really creepy. This is fantastic news. So anyway, but here's so they thought it's moot now, but they thought Sarah Duncan was Sarah Dillon. Blah 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 blah. So. All I know is that I came in this morning and was like, hey, do you want to have Tina Yothers? So that's what I'm saying. Tina Yothers, we're big enough now that Tina Yothers is coming to us. Mm. I don't have to stand outside her window and tap on the glass and leer in late at night. She'll come and find us. So it looks as though Tina Yothers, the question is, what is she pimping? I mean, like, she couldn't be coming to...
A line of jewelry, perhaps?
That does seem...
Every woman's dream?
Maybe it's like a perfume. What else do they... Or like a line of custom frozen diet foods, perhaps? Maybe that's Soba Kawa Pillow. They always need people to pimp that.
Are you in the Rose Garden Convention Center or out in Tampa?
That seems unlikely that they're in the Rose Garden Convention.
Outside of Portland, or are you pretty...
Maybe it's men's neckwear. Family ties.
Zing. That's... Okay, wait, hold on with this.
Are you right off the 5-5? Or the interstate?
Is it not where you are?
I know.
Tina Yothers is wandering bereft in the desert.
I don't know which way. Do you know where the Oregon Convention... Do you know where the Oregon Convention...
Oh, if only she had OnStar.
The Oregon Convention Center.
Yes, is that the one in Jansen Beach?
I don't know. Let me find out. Hold on, let me ask.
The Oregon Convention... Isn't that the one with the big tall steeples where they turn out the lights at night to save electricity? The big glass towers.
Hold on.
We're trying to find out.
One of the geeks.
All right,
we're going to find out.
Do you know where the Oregon Convention is?
Where is the Oregon? Yes. Tina Yothers is lost.
It's actually right across on the Max, across the bridge, the steel bridge there. You know where the Rose Garden is?
The best radio show ever.
It's like two blocks down. Right next to Burgerville.
Never been a more exciting installment of this radio program. We're giving to
Burgerville.
Really, do you realize now that this is...
You get complimentary tickets to Tina Yothers.
We've peaked. We're giving directions to Tina Yothers on a cell phone. That really is the height of radio entertainment. We can never come back from that. We might as well.
Hello, OnStar. This is Tina Yothers. He's trying to find the Oregon Convention.
Hello, this is Tina Yothers. Is here? Hello?
Sarah's irritated with us because she's trying to talk to Tina Yothers.
We're using up all the Tina Yothers' cell phone time.
You sound like you're her talking about herself in the third person.
Okay, great.
Tina Yothers doesn't have endless cell phone rates, you know.
They're not established eye contact.
Do not look at Tina Yothers.
That would probably be so.
Tina Yothers will choose to address you only by a number.
Okay. Yeah. All right, sounds good, Rob. Thank you.
Thanks, Rob.
Okay, bye.
Oh my god!
Oh,
that was fantastic.
That was.
Oh man, that was the best. They were sitting there giving it highway instructions to Tina Yothers people on a cell phone.
Can you imagine that?
That's the best.
When I woke up this morning, little did I know that
when you watch
the show would take this turn. I guess that's fate.
You know, I can just smell that 15 chair.
Tina's going to be in studio. He's like, would you rather have a phoner?
No.
I didn't want to
have a nooner.
Okay. So she's going to be here at 11:20.
Tomorrow?
Yeah.
Tina Yothers?
Tina Yothers. In studio.
So get out those Tina Yothers collectibles now.
Okay. Now here's
you probably have the Facts of Life DVDs, don't you?
No, I don't. It's on TV Land. I don't need to. It's always on. I got to find something for her to sign, though.
What were you guys talking about when I was on the phone?
Nothing. Not important.
No,
here's the thing, and I don't know the answer to this, because I heard you mentioning it something. All I heard, don't tell me yet, because I almost don't, because I want to try to figure it out. All I heard you say was that she needs to get her plug. Like, Tina Yothers needs her plug. It's at that time of the month. Tina Yothers needs her plug. All I heard you say was that Tina Yothers needs her plug, but that other than that, everything was fine. So Tim and I were speculating as to what is it? Is there a Tina Yothers convention? Is it possible that there's a YotherCon?
There's some kind of some women's convention going on.
Is it for dog products? I bet it's for a pet product.
No.
It's not for a dog bed of some kind?
No.
It's for a woman's product. Really?
No, it could be for both men and women. But there seem to be a lot of women associated with it.
Well, the women flock to Tina Yavis.
That's a well-known... It's a scientific fact. It's well-established. She's like catnip for women.
We're going to have someone here and we're going to have to cram her into this little studio.
Are we really? Is that true? Are we really going to have to cram her in? Is it Big Tina right now?
No, she's Little Tina, I think. Her team won on Celebrity Fit Club on VH1.
Is Little Tina code for something? Are we going to get to see Little Tina when she's here?
Yeah, that's just
called her plug. No, that's not what I was thinking. I was thinking of something else. Would you like to go in the back and see Little Tina? Hi, I am 5. Okay, so she's not... is she still blonde? Or
they actually sent a before and after picture with the breast packet.
Oh, so this is for a fatty product. She had her... something stapled or made smaller? Has she had her stomach... folded over. Oh, wait. Oh, I got to walk over. Hold on. I can't see these.
She lost 42 pounds and 5 42. Dress sizes.
And how many dress sizes?
No, this is...
5.
Somebody sent you a picture of Ann Wilson by mistake. That's not Tina Yathers. Really?
At the drive-thru, Yathers ordered her usual double-double burger but couldn't finish it.
My stomach will explode if I try to eat. My internal organs will rupture if I try to finish this.
We could talk to her about how jump rope is her favorite form of cardio.
Yeah. Let's have a jump rope here and have her do it. Let's make Tina Yathers jump rope in the studio. Jump rope for me! Jump rope for me, Tina Yathers! Jump rope for me now!
We should give her a jump rope with our station name on it, like with stickers on the handle, and say we heard that she was really into jump roping.
I swear that she'll use it every morning and think of us.
I am going to the store and buying a jump rope tonight.
I never in my wildest imaginings thought that I would be in a position to make Tina Yathers jump rope for me. God, I had the power. Wow. That was the best day of my life. Oh.
She's a fun and vibrant guest.
Fun and vibrant. Is she jolly, too?
We should have a whole bunch of fattening food sitting out there on, like, a platter. Whoa. And be eating in here while she's on...
That's why we like you, Sarah. This really is so many of your celebrity
like
dreams.
Arby's?
Come to true.
Those $5 for $5 Arby's.
Seriously. Would Tina Yathers like an barbecue? Would she like some cow with a K? Oh, that's fantastic. So what is this... So what is she pimping while she's here? Why is she here?
Nutrisystem.
And what is that? Is it like a weight loss?
Yeah, some kind of...
Well, it must be. Okay. It's like an L.A.
Oh, she follows... She cuts her proportions because she follows the Nutrisystem plan.
Let's take away the knives.
All right. Please keep your hands and feet away from Tina Yathers' mouth. All right. There you go. Fantastic. Here's the thing about Tina Yathers.
There are many things about Tina Yathers.
Unless you were introduced to me. She's a woman of many facets. Like Dirk Diggler. Yes?
Nutrisystem, I guess, is opening some store and they're selling new diet products. So she's here. Okay. So maybe she'll bring snacks.
Okay. Anywho, the thing about Tina, the one of the many things about Tina Yathers is, I'm unclear, and I can say this now, is she in town now?
No, she's still in New York.
Okay, thank God. So they're not listening.
At least I think so. I know he was.
Now? Is he listening now?
No, he's in New York.
Oh, but he's not listening. I was going to say,
because he kept saying we, so I was assuming maybe she was with him. How embarrassing.
But they're not here, like in Portland, listening to everything.
It wouldn't be safe for her to travel without her entourage.
No. Please, you are to stand 5 feet away from Ms. Yathers at all times. Okay, because I would have felt suddenly awkward about everything we were saying. Well, here's the thing about Tina Yathers is... I am unclear, and I say this... This is not... I don't say this to be mean Or catty.
Who would be mean to Tina Yathers?
No one. That's who. A bastard is who. That's who would be cruel to Tina Yathers. I think about Tina Yathers actually a lot. Maybe not a lot.
Frequently.
In the mornings. While sponging. No, I think... there's no way out of this. Hold on, I gotta stop. I think about Tina Yathers, though, a little bit, and I do wonder if...
We have got to go to CD Game Exchange today and get some...
Something for her, like, box set for...
Yeah, something she could sign.
All right. Hold on.
And we could have that as a giveaway for some listeners.
How do I get to... That's a dial 9, I always forget. You can just leave this up. I need to do what?
We're sorry.
I don't have to dial mine. Well, no one told me.
No.
Shut your mouth. The thing about Tina Yothers is I'm unclear about whether she's really hot or whether she's just hot in my memory. She must have really been hot at one point and they wouldn't have put it on TV. Ugly people don't get on TV, not typically speaking.
She's a fat friend.
What?
She's a fat friend?
No, didn't you watch Family Ties?
No.
She was just a little girl at the time.
She was like, well, that's the...
And rather portly.
That's the cruel thing to say about a little girl. She was a fat little giant.
She was one of the first... kind of obese children on television.
She was small and gloop-like. She wasn't obese.
No, she was
Tina Yothers?
No, she was a little heavy set.
There's no one working.
Calling 101 KUFO. Move in 107.5 in solid state radio.
Did you accidentally call our radio station?
No. CBS Radio Portland.
I'm trying to call, but apparently no one works there anymore.
Who's that?
What if I was trying to buy advertising? I'm trying to, I have a plan here. George
it's
Picard
coming together
style.
Very well. There has to be more than one location.
This is the number we give out, by the way, for buying advertising. If you'd like to advertise, call and listen to an uninteresting greeting that will give you no information on how to buy spots. I'd like to buy an annual. I sell houses.
Hello, KUFO, oh, Mix 107, Move in 107.5 and AM 970.
Hello. Hey, Dave's in. It's Rick Emerson.
Oh, hey.
Hey, Dave's in. How are you, sir?
I'm good.
Oh, man.
You have to leave your radio off. No, I'm just fooling with you. No, I'm just talking. Hey, is Alan Gabrowski around?
One moment. Let me double check.
Thank you, sir. Wait, I feel better already.
That's the music that makes me feel good.
I do. My day is getting better with every passing moment. This Rockwell is picking me up and making me feel good.
It sure is fun.
Holding for Alan Gabrowski.
Thank you, Dave.
He's currently on the phone for just one more moment, but I let him know you're calling.
Did you let him know that it was Tim Riley calling? Did you let him know that we were calling about Tina Yothers?
It's very important.
Oh, I didn't realize the Yothers.
Tell him this is moment. Regarding Tina Yothers. This is the... Tina Yothers, Dave's in.
One moment.
Thank you.
Move in 107.5 is all about. It's a radio station
all that.
Designed to help you feel good. It's songs from today and songs from back in your school days. It's songs from people like Prince, Madonna, and Outkast. We think life should be fun and music should make you feel good. Thanks for making the move to the new Move in 107.5.
I wonder if we're losing QM right now to the station.
That was a fake board.
That's
Tina Yothers, the co-star from Family Ties.
No, Tina Yothers, the diplomat to the United Nations for Bulgaria. Yes, yes.
I'm sorry, I'm stalling. Alan is still on the phone with a client, but he's almost off.
Oh, really? I don't wish to interrupt business. Do you know if he's on the phone with CD Game Exchange by any chance?
I could find out for you.
Thank you.
One second.
Thank you. Let him know this is regarding Tina Yothers.
I will mention Tina's name.
Thank you, sir. I feel the urge to clean the house.
I want to vacuum out the minivan.
Let's go to McDonald's. I want to form a soccer league.
That makes me proud of you.
I want to buy some lavender sweatpants and wear them around the house.
And everything's so unexpected the way you write and lift it. So you think you're going to take it?
I feel the urge to buy groceries in bulk.
Shakira, Shakira.
Oh, baby, when you talk like that, you make the woman go mad. Be wise and keep on reading the signs.
I'm running out of suburban jokes.
It's more like listening to an iPod than a
television.
I'm waiting for a...
Hello,
this is Alan.
Hello, Alan Gabrowski. It's Rick Emerson.
Hey, Rick. How you doing?
How are you, sir?
I am good. Dave was trying to tell me on the phone, and I was on the phone with the client.
That's okay. No, I don't wish to interrupt you from doing business, sir, because I know that you are one of the engines that drives CBS Radio Portland. It's very important because this, sir, is involving Tina Yothers.
Okay.
Tina Yathers, Alan.
From Family Ties.
Yeah, yes, thank God. But you may only know her from Family Ties, but she's a multifaceted. Her tiers of talent are endless.
Okay.
My question is, do you know, is it possible for us to contact the fine folk, to contact Joe and Dave at CD Game Exchange?
I would imagine it would be.
And then perhaps rustle up a DVD set of Family Ties, if they have such a thing in stock. I feel it's important.
Probably sold out.
There may have been
a back order at this point.
I believe it is on back order,
there may have been a run. If that would at all be possible, perhaps one for us and then one to give away. That would be even better, because think of the children.
Okay, I'll shoot them a call and let you know.
Okay, God bless. Thank you, Alan Gabrowski.
Thank you.
All right, there you go. Bye. Alan Gabrowski, ladies and gentlemen. All right, fantastic.
Bye.
Bye. All right, there you go. Fantastic.
We should come back with some news.
That was a long way to go for a bit.
Seriously. That was like...
At least we got the
brand new 107.5.
That was like
Now we all feel much better.
Big overture. Little show. All right, back after this with news and information, science and technology. It's the 2 o'clock hour. We're doing the Al Gore tickets again in the 2 o'clock hour. I started it at 11:30 this morning. Good God almighty. I'm sorry, Scotty. If you need more Vizo, you'll have to... Maybe the next time I call.
You can't start it at 11:30 tomorrow morning.
Why?
Because Tina Yathers will be here.
TV's Tina Yathers?
It's true. No, Nutra Systems Tina Yathers.
I'm sorry. Let's introduce her as that. Nutra Systems Tina Yathers.
Let's just ask her all questions about Nutra System and nothing about her past.
Let's feign complete ignorance of anything she may have ever done. All right. Back after this, the Rick Emerson Show here, Dallas Cooper. Stay right there.
This time, Europe, Germany, Thailand,